Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time of renewal, of meditation. Lord God, set our hearts on your scriptures and what you would have for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I don't even know, I don't remember how to do this. It's been so long since I've actually been here, it almost seems like I have nothing to say to you guys right now. But since then, it seems like the national media has caught fire, and there seems to be a small problem in the United States that we're trying to address, and looking at Facebook, everything else, it just seems like everybody is talking about it. And so I actually thought that my sermon was going to go a different way, and then on Friday, it went a totally different way. I was at the Goodness, and if you are a person that loves prayer, the Goodness at 12 o'clock, Nathan Shaley, who speaks to us and will speak to us, he leads a small prayer group. And during that time of prayer, I just got this clear picture of what I might want to talk about right now. Right now, it's getting pretty dicey, especially in the bigger cities. Because there's tension between peoples. I don't know if you've noticed that. And it's all over the news. And unfortunately, the last place to talk about it is a church. That should be the first place to talk about it. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to talk about it and how it kind of relates to Minnesota. Because Minnesota is entrenched in it. And so when we take a look, let's read this one together. And Jesus, okay, so what I wanted to point out there is the gospel writer is trying to tell you by identifying her as a non-Jew that there's something going on here, all right? By talking about Canaanite, this woman, where she's from, the people didn't really like each other over the border, okay? And so this is what Jesus is dealing with in this first part of this lesson. And so I'm kind of wondering, well, how does that relate to Minnesota? Minnesota has been the same for a long time. But very interesting enough, if we look at this, this is a picture of Israel. And I thought it'd be best if a young person drew it, because it's easier to explain than a map that's too technical. Basically, what has happened right before the New Testament, even in the times of 700-800 BC, what you do is you have a split in Israel. You got the 12 tribes split into the top 10 and the bottom 2. And what happens is the Assyrians, a group from modern-day Iraq, come in, and basically with God's blessing, they invade the top 10 tribes, and they conquer them. What's important to note is back in these times, these countries, when they invade and take over you, they don't want you to rise up and rebel against them. So what they do is they cart off most of your population and resettle them in different places. Okay, so you have these small little pockets of Jews living throughout Persia, modern-day Iran, modern-day Iraq. That's where we think that the wise men, when they come and know all about Jesus, that's why they might have been descendants of some of these people that were carted off. All right, and if you still don't understand what this really means, go down to Texas around December, and you got all those Yanks down there talking about hot dishes and talking all this kind of gibberish that Texans don't know anything about. And it's just like that. You have your own little communities that you have your own little language, and it's not the same. And you have this kind of barrier because the y'alls don't know what to do with these people. And so there's not necessarily tension, but there's an awkwardness. And so the same thing here, but even worse than that. By the time of Jesus, the people that have settled in Samaria, because they were forced to by the Assyrians, they have kind of intermingled with some of the Jews. So the Jews believe they're kind of these half-breeds. What was the case is if you were really Jewish, you didn't hang out with them. You had nothing to do with them. Because if you were not really Jewish, you didn't have the favor of God, and so you care less. So when we open up with this gospel talking about she was a Canaanite woman, we're trying to say is that there was bad blood between the Jewish people, which Jesus kind of represents, and the people that this woman represent. And you hardly ever went into Samaria, because to do so would be talking to someone really low. And so I kind of think, okay, well, when you look at these pictures, what do you notice? Or this one's even better. Does that not break your heart? About a 175-pound dog, and obviously the owner has something that he wants. And he puts out the paw. You ever get that if you have a dog and it breaks your heart because you're sitting there and all of a sudden this big slobbering face is just right on your knee and all of a sudden the eyes just come up there and just start begging. And so I'm looking at this and saying, okay, this relates to our text. If you would get out your worship bulletin and look on there. I love this. But in verse 23, he did not answer her word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away. Get her away from us. We can't stand it, for she is crying out after us. And he answered, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is trying to say, I'm a Jew. I came for the Jews first. My main mission is for the Jews. That's why I came. That's why Israel, for the most part, was kept intact. That's why there's a nation of Israel at the time of Jesus. It's fractured from what it was, but there's still the remnant of Israel there. And Jesus says, well, technically, I only came for the Jews. He's testing her. And very interesting, this is, but she came and knelt before him. This word knelt, can you, if you would, outline, circle this word. The reason why is in the English, the word does not do it justice. In the Greek, what this really kind of has this effect of, Jesus is standing there and this woman gets as low as she can before Jesus. As low as she can. She's not Jewish. She's a half-breed, and there's hate between them. And what she does is she gets as low as she can before Jesus. And she begs him, my daughter has a demon, and there's nothing I can do about it. Would you please? You are my God. Even though I may be called something different, even though I may be called something really low, I know that I'm low. Will you please help? And interesting enough, and he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus, where are you going with this? She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If you notice the picture here, this woman is putting herself into this place, putting her paw up on her master and saying, would you please? Would you please? I don't consider myself worthy enough because I'm not Jewish, I'm not from that clan, I'm not from that culture, but as a dog myself, would you please? I'm begging you, would you please do this for my daughter? And so interesting enough is Jesus calls out her faith. Jesus calls out our faith. Not as someone, oh, well, you're Jewish. Of course, it's expected. It's interesting that in the New Testament, when Jesus tries to show great faith, it's usually from someone outside the Jewish nation. And he, it's almost like he's looking at all the disciples who are Jewish. He says, you see this woman? She doesn't consider herself worthy, and yet she's at my feet begging for me to do something. I wish all of Israel would do the same, because they would not. So it's interesting that it is the Jews who would take Jesus and bring him up on false charges. It was the Jews who would say, Jesus is not worthy of us, and they would take him to the Romans to have him crucified, his own people. And yet, people outside the Jews are begging for his forgiveness, his mercy. And so I think it has real implications for us today. I want you to take a look at this.
Right? I mean, an ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
She got it. Puppy, that's right. Interesting enough, this is from a movie in which God asked for a big thing. And he says, I don't even know how to begin. He says, that's your problem. You think you have to start big and you start small. And so very interesting there's culture in this place that is off. As I was traveling to my police chaplaincy program in Minneapolis, one of the other pastors said, going by one of the churches, he said, just count the sides on the steeple. I've heard that that's either Norwegian or Swedish. And what I've heard from you guys, sorry, y'all, what I've heard from y'all is that even up to today, there is still some bad blood between Norwegians and Swedes. Is that correct? In Wilmer, why do you have three ELCA churches? I've heard that they couldn't get along, so they built their own churches on opposite sides of the city. Okay, we're talking about white people who can't get along and call Christ their Savior. And so they build churches on the opposite ends because they just can't get along with each other. People who call Christ their Savior. And even it doesn't matter the color of their skin, they still can't stand each other because of dialect, because of where their ancestors were from. We do the same thing today. We do the same thing today. It doesn't matter color of skin. We have ways in which we bring up why we don't like somebody else. It's easy. Color of the skin is just one reason why we just say, don't like it. This Friday, I just kind of felt this inkling. And I went to the mosque on Friday. That's when all the Muslim men get ready and they come to stand together for prayer. And what I did is I stood outside to make sure that nobody messed with them. Because in the United States, they have the right to worship however they want. And some of them came up to me and was like, dude, what are you doing here? You're obviously not the same color we are. I stood out. And I said, sir, I just want to make sure that you know that if someone tries anything, I will be here to defend you. And automatically their face went from tense to like, wow, I don't understand this, but thank you so much. I have never met so many Somali men in my life as I did in that hour. And they would come up to you, and then we went to the Somali Star, of course, and we ate, and we just started talking, because there is this tension in our community that one of the things is when there's a Somali woman, and she's working at Cashwise or Walmart, And there's a tension there because in the Somali community, as a male, I don't look her in the eye. Only the husband looks her straight in the eye. And see, that we talked about that because there's a small problem, because in the United States, if I don't look you in the eye, that means I don't respect you. And so what do I do? Because I feel bad, because if I, no matter what, whatever culture, I'm caught in the middle. And said, don't worry about it. We're in the United States. We're learning about your culture. Go ahead and look her in the eye and say hello. I said, that sounds like something I should be doing every time. Saying hello, teaching her that this is okay for it. It doesn't matter her culture, her identity. I'm called to reject my own self, because in here, I have, every single day, I have this thought that I don't want to be around someone who's not like me. And generally, that's everybody. Starting with the office, starting with congregation, start with anybody. But daily, I have to take whatever is going on inside my head and saying, I have got to drown whatever it is that would come from my head that will be sinful and drown it into this place, because this is where Christ took me, a child that didn't deserve it, and here I am begging at his feet. Begging at his feet for his mercy. And that's where I begin, and that's where I end. Because I still need to remember that I am a person unworthy of mercy, and yet God still gives me, grants me love. So whenever we think that there's something in our lives where we want to say, oh, that... God asks us to love your enemies as yourself, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do, and yet we need to practice that, mentally getting down before God's feet and begging him, Lord, if you want, I will love this person because you have shown me love first. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, there's not a single person in here that deserves to be even at your feet begging for forgiveness. But Lord God, even in the midst of whatever is going on in our communities or in our country, Lord, help us understand that there will be times in our lives in which Satan would implant in us this idea of hatred and disunity. Lord God, in this day, we ask you to be with us, Lord. Lord God, as we kneel before your altar today, that you would remind us that it is you coming to us. That even as dogs, we are allowed to receive from your table. And you don't just give us the scraps, Lord, you give us the first fruits of what you did for us on the cross. So help us remember, Lord, that we are receiving your love in the fullness so that we can be reflections of you to our community. In your son's name we pray. Amen.